This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG Cast presents Human. All right, so what is George thinking he wants to do?
He is currently sitting in his apartment, just sort of forlornly looking at the phone after the conversation with Jane. He is at a little bit of an impasse. He would like to be with her, but her mom is most assuredly going to be at the hospital. And she did say, hey, you know, like, give me some time. I'm not in the best space right now. I am now on the clock, as DeLuca had given me the previous day off. So I'm just trying to figure out what's the best course of action with Brian having run down the lead at the Gazette. It doesn't leave me a whole lot of options off the top of my head as far as trying to find someone who doesn't wish to be found and has a chameleon-like ability to just hide amongst the people of the city.
Yeah.
I never got a sense, I don't feel like, of anything personal from Paul when he spoke to him. Like, we made small talk, and then we made, you know, talked about business. I do go and grab the business card that I had for him.
Okay.
Like, he might have like a little Rolodex for, you know, maybe it's sitting in a junk drawer or whatever. And, or he might, fuck, that might be in his office. I don't know if he would have that at home. I'm just wondering, do I recall off the top of my head? I'm assuming it had the, you know, his name, but then like the address and all for the paper.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Business card. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, back then they probably didn't have personal lines, I don't think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it probably just has the address of the paper and his name.
Okay. So he's kind of like, you know, snaps his fingers and shit. Yeah. So he's kind of, you know, just trying to puzzle out what to do next.
Yeah. So, you know, so we've kind of talked about this before, and this is something we can reference now. Like, if there are times when players in a core game are stuck and they don't really know kind of where to go, or maybe need a little push to get in a certain direction, the GM can take a certain stat. Most of the time in this reference, it could be a brains roll. If you're looking at other instances, like if you're trying to look into the mind of somebody, like, again, you don't know very much about Paul Blanker, enough of his psyche to know, but, you know, say you actually knew him a little bit better, you could probably do a psyche roll just to kind of figure out, okay, you know, how does he operate? Where do you think he is? That kind of thing. So yeah. I think for this instance, we could probably do a brains roll just to have you maybe come up with some ideas on how to proceed.
This is, I'm assuming, going to be straight brains, right? We're not adding anything.
Yeah, to it. I don't think, like, there's going to be anything, because there's not really, I mean, if you had more pieces of the puzzle, I would say an investigation would be a good one to use, but you don't have a ton to go off of right at the moment. So
yeah, it makes sense. Cool.
I will make the DL. I think it would be pretty low at this point, because again, well, I'm not going to make it like super low, but what, three's like, what, challenging? Is that what it's called?
I believe three is challenging. I can pull up the chart.
Of course, I never have Core's rules in front of me when I need them.
Rule? Who needs rules? We just play stuff and
pull. We don't need no stinking rules.
Let me see.
That's trying to be a quote from a movie. I'm not trying to do a weird Mexican accent for nothing.
What am I looking up now? I already forgot.
Wow. What?
Oh, yeah. Three is challenging.
Oh, my God. Maybe we shouldn't be playing tonight. Good Lord. Okay. So, yeah, three is challenging. Yeah. So let's have it, because, you know, you got to kind of work out some things. Again, you don't really know too much about Paul Blanker. So you need to kind of like do one of those beautiful mind things where all the things are working through your head and you see if anything pops up.
Gotcha. So three. So I rolled a five. So yes. And
yes. And okay.
I know where he is.
He is on the street corner outside of your house taking pictures. No.
Shit.
So you realize that, again, a lot of things you just don't know about this guy. But there are two options that kind of pop into your head. Number one, you could pop down to the post office where the P.O. box is, and you could do some snooping there. Do some asking around just to see if he's been there recently. You know, what, you know, is it something that, you know, maybe you could come back when you think that he's going to be back the next time, or maybe someone there knows a little bit more about Paul and you'd be able to glean a little bit more off of that. Another thing you could do is you could actually physically go down to the Gazette and just try your hand at trying to find him. I mean, it can't hurt anything. It's not like people haven't gone to the, you know, this is the 1940s. So it's not like it's today where you can't get it anywhere. You could, I mean, back then you probably could get just about in anywhere. It's just how far into a place can you get?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that occurs to me now is that he could just, so two things.
Yes.
Ask around, right? Except streetwise. So yep. Like, In a vague meta sense, like ply my streetwise to, you know, show his picture around. Hey, have you seen this guy?
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm working on a kid, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The other thing is I could go back to DeLuca and be like, hey, do you know where this motherfucker lives? Like, he works for you, you know? Cause I didn't get any information from him.
Yeah.
Other than like, hey, you're working for me now and I need you to go do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whether it's DeLuca or you know, one of his underlings, be like, hey, what do we know about this guy?
Yeah.
You want me to find him, but I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny because you at one point, and this was pretty recently, you said to me, you would never choose that option. And now it's an option you are considering.
Well, I didn't want to involve him with my personal stuff, but now, like, I'm working for him,
mm-hmm.
You know, work, quote unquote. Yeah. So it's a Tuesday. So I don't know how often he would be in the, you know what? I'm going to go to the post office.
Give me one second.
Oh, I need an end too.
Yeah. Yeah, you, that's all yours. I don't want to give it to you. I would like you to come up with something.
Let's see. Because I feel like they would probably say that then. So how about this? I want the end to be when I go down and kind of like just ask around that nobody says anything to Blanker later.
Oh, I like that end. That's a great end.
Right. Like maybe he, you know, he slides, you know, I know we had a conversation about money, like $5. Maybe that's not, you know, more than it is now, but not like, you know, I forget what the exchange rate was. I felt like that was maybe more than we thought it was.
It's quite a bit.
$2. I don't whatever seems to be the appropriate in time frame amount of a like. Hey, I just need some information. And like, I wasn't here.
Okay. Just because I look this up every time I think we're done. And I'm like, I need to have this in my repertoire. In the 1940s, $5 is equivalent to about $108.
Okay. So maybe like $2 then.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
Grease and palms here.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, your revenue is coming in pretty good right now, but we don't want to blow everything. So. So yeah, I think $2 is a great idea.
Okay.
I lost everything I have here. That's okay. I already know this. Okay. All right. So you're going to go down to the Gazette and you're going to ask around.
No, I'm going to go to the post office.
Oh, you're going to the post office. I'm sorry. apparently when I was looking at my notes, I was not paying enough attention. Apologies. Okay. So yeah, so you go to the post office. There is a very old gentleman working the counter and no one else is there.
Nobody else is there. Okay.
Nobody else is there. No customers, no associates, just this old gentleman.
All right. So he, you know, like takes a surreptitious look around the post office, like looks to see where the boxes are, you know, just kind of walks in and, you know, walks up and he'd be like, hey, old timer, how's it going? How you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad. Can I get a book of stamps?
Well, of course. Yeah. I don't know how much that is in 1940, but here you go.
A nickel.
A nickel, yeah, exactly.
So he doesn't grab them right away.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I guess you've been working here a long time, huh?
All right, just because my age is pretty up there doesn't mean I've been working here for a while.
Well, I just say, these government jobs are usually pretty good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. I've been working here for about 6 years, so just been a bit.
Well, you know a lot of the regulars come in and come out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always, you know, people coming in and out. I say hey, they say hey. A little chit-chat, you know, that's the deal.
Do you, he looks down at the stamps and then he looks back up and he says, Paul Blanger, the newspaper guy?
Oh, Paulie, what a good guy. Yeah, he's always here, you know, getting his paychecks, you know, every once in a while getting a little package, you know, he's a good guy.
You ever say anything about what he's doing, about anything that's going on?
What do you mean?
So then he like reaches in and he like puts the $2 on top of the stamps. And he says, I'm just looking for a little bit of information about old Paulie. We crossed paths a little while back and I want to I'm looking into some things.
He kind of like side eyes you a little bit. He takes the money, but then he thinks more about it. And then he kind of puts it back on the countertop and he says, Paulie ain't in no trouble, is he?
Oh, no. You know, I ran into him and then we lost contact. I was trying to get a hold of him. I had a business card. I lost it. I can't find it. I know he works around here somewhere. I thought maybe, you know, I'd come in and ask around.
All right. Roll me fast talk.
It's not completely good. Why?
It isn't, but you're trying to deceive him a little bit. I'll have the DLB 3 again.
Oh, okay. I got a 6.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he totally hook, line, and sinker. He's like, okay. I just want to make sure he's not in any trouble. You know, that these days, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, those big old mafiosos and stuff like that. And, you know, his kind of business, you know, is, you know, he can get himself in some trouble. So, I'm just looking out for Paulie.
Well, that's very nice of you. Yeah, I read his last article about the fire about that J.J. Abrams. It's a damn shame all those people passed away.
Yeah, that's bad news. J.J. was a good guy. J.J. was always taking care of everybody, you know? He's a good guy. Hopefully, you know, he's got a good spot up there, you know?
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears.
Yeah, that's right.
So how do I...
Well, you have an and, so if you want to... use that to talk him into something, I will let you have that.
I'm just trying to figure out, you know, like realistically, like how much he would know. It wouldn't be like he would come in and be like, oh yeah, you know, like make sure you forward anything I don't pick up to this address or whatever. You know what I mean?
Do you want that? I can give it to you.
Yeah, sure. Why not? so he says something like, Does Paulie ever, like, you know, not pick up his stuff? You ever have to, you know, forward any mail or anything?
Well, you know, every once in a while, he's, you know, he's a busy guy. So sometimes he's kind of out of town and doing things, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, he gets it forwarded to his buddy Charles.
Oh, Charles. Oh, I think I know him. What's his last name? I forget.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Charles Charles Jones.
Oh, shit. Okay, cool. Thank you. Do you know where, could you tell me where he's at? Maybe they're hanging out together. We could all go out for coffee.
Yeah, I suppose if you're, trying to find him, you know, hold on. Let me see if I can find his address here. And he goes to the back and kind of looking it up or whatever, and he's like, he starts and he stops again, and then he's just kind of like, well, you know, this can get me in trouble, so you know, make sure you just kind of keep that address under wraps, okay? Don't go handing it out to anybody.
No. Hey, I was never here.
And then he like holds his hand out a little, like real sheepishly, but also like, you know, like I got to make a living somehow, you know.
He kind of cracks a grin and he'll give him another dollar.
Nice. And he'll slip it into his pocket and he says, oh yeah, looks like I got his address here. It's, you know, it's 110 Macron Street.
That's great. I, you know what? I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And, I haven't seen Paul here for a little bit. So, you know, if you see Paul, just tell him, Greg says hi.
I will certainly do that. It's been a pleasure, Greg.
You as well. I'm sorry. I didn't get your name.
Oh boy. I don't know if I would actually use my name.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Harry Stanton. Pleasure to meet you.
Oh, Harry. Good to meet you, sir. Well, I got to get back to work. I got some filing to do. So, unless you got anything else, have a great day.
Yeah. You too. He, you know, grabs the stamps off the desk. He probably needs stamps.
Who doesn't?
And then before he leaves, he goes up to the corkboard where they put all the wanted posters.
Yeah.
And just takes a gander and see whether or not there's anybody that kind of looks like Paul up on the board.
Gotcha.
Because he says he was a bad person that did some bad things. So like, maybe he's got another alias up here.
Yeah. Let's just say there is something. There's like a sketch that looks almost exactly it looks like Paul, but for some reason he's has no hair, he's bald, and he has somewhat of a scar underneath his right eye, and there's no name underneath, but it basically is like this person is wanted in connection for a a homicide on, and then there's like an address that you don't recognize, and they're like, and then it's like, if you have any information, thank you, good Lord, information on the whereabouts of this person, and then they give a phone number, and you kind of recognize it as the Queens PD, like the general number.
I take a look over my shoulder to see if he's just like dicking around and pull it down off the board.
Roll me a grace roll.
Which I am going to do at a minus one. I don't know. Would that be a minus one? That's just grabbing a piece of paper off the.
Yeah.
Like it's not fighting or.
Yeah, know. Exactly. No, I won't let you have the negative on that.
Can I give you a stealth roll?
Sure. Go for it. I'll have the DLB3 again.
That is a 6 again, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So he literally doesn't even bother to look your way. So it's just like you take it, you fold it up, put it in your pocket, you're out. He doesn't even realize you've gone.
let's see, what would the end be? How about,
and if you can't figure out anything for the and, we could always just pocket it for later, because you know, unless it's something that you're really excited about, I mean, and doesn't really matter at this point.
I mean, I suppose not. I mean, you know, with the stealth roll, if he doesn't see me, I was going to say that if you're fine with it, like, it's not, you know, anything spectacular.
Yeah.
When I step outside, there's a cab waiting.
Oh, there you go.
He knows where that street is.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Give me another second here. I'm going to look at something real quick. Some minutes.
Because I assume, therefore George assumes,
yes,
that Michael Jones, the most nondescript name ever, is Paul Blanker's, you know, other alias,
Charles
and
Jones.
It's either his actual place, or it's, you know, like a dead drop or something, you know what I mean? Like it's an empty building, it's a, you know, a space where he might have something sent, like grab shit out of him, you know. Not necessarily his place, right? Like, could be anywhere on that spectrum of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. That is a great way to think about it. Sorry. There's so many there's places that you're going that I'm like, I need this note. And then I'm like, shoot, where is that note? I have to find it. Apologies. Luckily, no one else will know because it'll be nice. Okay. Yeah. So you jump into the cab and you start to pull away. And the cabbie turns around and says, where to, partner? And he looks at you and he like squints his eyes and he says, George. You recognize this guy to be Randy, the fella that you dropped off at the Open Arms for Vets.
Oh, nice. He gets back into the seat a little bit because he doesn't know where this is going to go. And he's, oh, shit, Randy. Hey, man, how you doing? You look like you're doing pretty good.
And he's like, rubs the car and like kind of like pulls on his collar a little bit. He's like, yeah, I'm moving up in the world. Can you believe it?
I do. That's fantastic. I'm glad to see you on your feet.
He's like, you know what? If it wasn't for you, none of this would have happened to me.
Nah, I ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all you.
Oh, no. Believe me, you do. You got me to Open Arms for Vets. I told Charlene about you, and she didn't even... the interview was very short, and she was not... And she was real quick to give me a job. It was all because of you.
Wow, what? You know what? I'm glad to hear it. She's a nice lady.
She is. She is one good person, I'll tell you. And I'm very glad that I am working for somebody like her.
How's business? I heard things weren't too good over there. You making that okay?
You know what? We really had a dip. And to tell you the truth, I thought I was going to be one of the first ones to go. But she had to clean a little bit of house, if you know what I'm saying. Like, there was a few bad apples there. But now, you know what? Things aren't, like, great, but they're going a lot smoother.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, what do we keep talking about let's try that again. Why do we keep talking about me? How are you doing? You've been busy.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple of nice cases. I'm doing okay. I'm seeing a lady. Things are all right.
You know, this last Christmas, Miss Charlene, she actually gifted me one of these little radios. You know, I feel like I'm always hearing about you doing good things, man. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I do what I can. You know, it's, my name's in the paper. It's good for business, you know?
Oh, yeah. It can't hurt.
No, not at all. Well, he kind of like absolutely scratches the back of his head.
He's like, you feel like you're like just about to your destination, you know, and he's just about to pull up. And he says, well, you know, ever have, you know, a lunch break or something like that, you should come over. Well, I don't have a lot of money, but Charlene definitely get, you know, every once in a while she'll order us some food and stuff like that. And maybe I can talk her into, you know, getting you a little something.
Hey, that'd be nice. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know what? I know there's a couple of the guys there that even though they didn't have a lot of time with you, they really like you too. So I'm sure they'd be glad to see you as well.
Huh. All right. Well, that's I like to hear that. I did a little bit of work for her.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I'm glad you did what you did. Cause you know what? I haven't been there for too long. I could tell Miss Charlene, she was having a tough time there for a little bit.
Yeah. Things, case wasn't, let's just say it wasn't great, but, it worked itself out in the end.
Yeah. Sometimes things do. And then he pulls up, tells you, you know, how much the fare is. I'm not going to pull it.
It's
out.
Whatever.
It's just whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
So like when the car comes to a stop and, you know, he's kind of leaning forward and we're talking, I glance at the window. What am I looking at?
Okay. Yep.
Is it a barren lot? Is it an old house? Is it a, you know, a house that somebody's living at? Is it an apartment building? Like what are we?
Yeah. 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 For sure. So yeah, it's a nice apartment building complex. I'm going to say it's probably got about, from what you can tell, it's probably got about, say, like, maybe 16 apartments. We'll say like eight on the bottom, eight on the top. Looks like a very nice neighborhood. It doesn't look like, you know, anything shoddy, anything like sketchy. It just, it looks like if you're well-to-do, you live here.
I imagine there's just a buzzer to get in and a door, and the mailboxes would be inside the foyer, right?
Yep.
Door wood, glass, metal.
Let's say that it is the front is probably glass.
So he, you know, just kind of puts a hand on his shoulder and kind of, you know, taps his shoulder, you know, like Coco. And he says, hey, you know what, if you don't mind, could you wait here just for just a second? I got to take a look up in the lobby and then, maybe we go get some lunch.
Oh, for sure. I'll be waiting right here.
All right. He, you know, slides out the door, looks up and down the street, goes up to the front. I'm assuming there's no doorman, right?
I'm sorry. What was that?
There's no doorman.
No.
No doorman.
Yeah. No.
So he goes up to the glass,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of like gets an angle. He wants to see if I can see the names on the mailboxes. From, sure. You know, from that into that foyer area, he'd look one side and then the other side to see, you know, whether it says, you know, Michael Jones, or if it says, you know, Paul Blanker, if it's, you know,
it's Charles Jones, by the way.
Or Charles Jones. Yeah, Charles Jones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be an awareness.
Yeah, I would assume.
You want more? Do you want one for each? Like, you know, we don't normally do a ton of roles. Do you want one for each side? Do you want one for the lobby, like that encompasses me looking?
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense to be like, oh, look to your left. Oh, look to your right. Yeah, it can just be one good roll.
Okay.
We'll do another three.
Another three.
Okay. Yeah.
That is going to be a six, I believe. Five on the die plus dun, 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 one. So six.
Nice. Yeah, so you look and you can see, like, to the right side, there's mailboxes, and they're all numbered, and they all have names next to them.
Okay. Do I see Charles Jones?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So can I see which number it is?
Yep, it's 13.
13. And I don't get any sense if that's top or bottom. I don't know if I've never lived in an apartment in the city, so like if bottom numbers are on the bottom and top numbers are on the top, like box wise. Or
yeah, if you want to, that could be your and, or you could use your and for something else.
Yeah, no, I like that. Andy's on the first floor. Nice. Or and that apartment is on the first floor.
And the apartment's on the first floor. Okay. So then it would be opposite. So that you would think that it would be like number one would be on the bottom and number 13 would be more on the top. So it's like you've got 8 through 16 on the bottom, and then 1 through 7 on the top.
Okay. All right. Apartment 13, bottom 4. Dig it. Just saunter back over to the car and be like, all right, where are we going to eat? Lunch is on me.
He's just like, he just kind of like, lunch is on you. It's funny because usually, you know, people are like, oh, well, I don't know. Let's go. And he's just like, you can tell. Something like
I'm driving
lights up in his eyes, you know, and he's like, boy, coming up with names after you've named like a million things is really tough. So he's like, yeah, you know what? There's this. Okay, it's not going to seem like as much, but there is this hot dog stand on 19th Street. It's Franco's, the best hot dogs to die for.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right. And you drive for like, let's say like 15 minutes. It's not too bad of a drive, but it's a little ways. And you come to this stand and it is packed. There's like people grabbing, you know, hot dogs, people grabbing condiments, people grabbing beverages, people get, you know, there's even like people off to the side, like talking and laughing. Like this is like a hot spot for the lunch hour.
Nice. I guess we pull up, grab some dogs and chit chat about stuff and, you know, what's been going on, where is he staying, blah blah blah, whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, he tells you that he's still staying at Open Arms of Vets because he just can't quite afford an apartment at the moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, he says that him and another vet are actually been talking about getting a place. He talks about that he's actually been really stingy with his money because he's, you know, he doesn't want to blow it all. So he's like, anytime there's something at Imperial, as far as like breakfast or lunch, like he feels bad, but he's always the first one to kind of take it because he's like, you know, he wants to save up. He tells you that, you know, sometimes that creates a little dust up at the at work or whatever, because, you know, someone's like, oh, you just stepped in front of me, you know. But he's like, you know, I've had to scrounge for every meal. So he's like, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But he's the way he talks to you, it's like, even though he's had a hard road before him, he can see a light ahead of him. And you can tell that he's really excited about where he's at right now.
Yeah, George feels good about that. You know, it's good to see, you know, a fellow vet getting back on his feet and, like, you know, getting things back together and, you know, having a way out from where he was. And it makes him feel good, you know, not like in a prideful sort of way, but, like, you know, just being able to help somebody who was, you know, in a situation that was not fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And he even tells you, like, you know, he's been considering, like, working at Open Arms for Vets to, like, you know, help other vets get on their feet and stuff like that. He's talked about that he doesn't know if he's quite there yet because his, you know, there's still some things he's got to work out mentally. But, like, yeah, like, it just seems like, you know, things are kind of working out for him and he's really enjoying it. And then he, like, is kind of asking you, like, do you have anybody special, you know, how's your life out of work, and I'll let you decide how you want to respond to that.
I think the more that, like, he gets into his story, you know, they're, you know, bantering back and forth, but, like, you know, Randy's doing a lot of the talking again, and, you know, when he says that, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, I was seeing this lady, we met on New Year's last year, and we're actually out of character. Was that this year? Fuck, I don't
know. That would be, I think it was last year, actually.
So we've been together for almost a year then?
Yeah, I think so. Because you guys meet at it was before New Year's, wasn't it? Because
I think we did a time jump, didn't it? Or did we just roll right into the next year? We did. So it would have been this year. It would have been, well, December 31st of 46, we're in 47. Okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, like, yeah. So you guys haven't been quite together for a year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I met this lady at, you know, New Year's, and we were, you know, kind of messing around some, and, you know, things got kind of serious, and then, you know, we hit the skids a little bit, you know, she was a little antsy and all, and, you know, we were, yeah, we got back together, and, yeah, we got into a, you know, there was a car accident, and you know, she's in the hospital. It's you know, it's not great right now. I mean, like, it's, you know, things happen.
Yeah, and Randy kind of shakes his head a little bit, and he's like, I'm sorry that happened to you. He says, I used to be married. I lost my wife to cancer at a very young age. So I know
that. I'm so ready to hear that.
Thank you. I understand, like, life is fleeting, I think they say. And yeah, so, you know, even though things can be hard, you know, one day you could be, you know, breathing, and one day you can't. So, like, I try to take, even when I'm losing, I try to take that as try.
Yeah, it's a good attitude to have. You never know what life's going to throw at you.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard one to maintain, but, you know, you gotta try.
Yeah, yeah. She's you know, she's on the mend, so that's good, but you know, it was real touch and go there for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I spent a couple of days in the hospital myself, and he kind of, like, lifts up his arm and, you know, kind of, like, you know, rubs at his ribs. He's like, I got busted up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still like pretty bruised up, and he's like, ooh. That does not look good, and you're still walking around doing some things, huh?
Yeah, you know, Doc told me to take it easy, but you know, work. So I gotta work. What am I gonna do if I don't work? I don't eat.
He kind of laughs at that. He's like, yeah. Guys like you and me, it's really hard for us to keep our feet planted in one spot for too long.
Amen to that, brother.
Oh, you know, and he, you know, you guys chat a little bit more. You know, he tells you a little bit more about his life and kind of before the war and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, he kind of like thinks about it. He's like, oh, I need to get going. I am up back on the clock.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to keep you.
That's okay. Well, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere now. Well, again, I don't know where you live. He kind of laughs. He's like, do I need to take you anywhere else?
How well do I feel to walk? Because I know the first day, like yesterday, was awful.
Yeah. I don't think you're in any shape to walk too far. So, like, if you wanted to go back to the apartment complex, I think you'd probably have to get a ride.
And how far are we out from, like, my normal stomping grounds? Like, around the office, the house, that kind of stuff?
Let's just say you're, like, probably, like, 45 minutes now.
Okay, so we're way out.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah. So he goes, yeah, flip the flag. Would you take me back over to the office? I'll check in over there.
All right. Sounds good. I get to see where the magic is made. And, you know, and he kind of rubs his hands a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully you don't ever need my services.
Amen to that. And you get in the car. It starts to lightly rain, even though it's still a nice day out. It kind of lightly rains a little bit. It puts a little bit of a chill in the air. You drive back and you get to the office.
All right. Yep. He pays up, you know, slaps the hood, you know, catch you next time, blah, blah, blah. Keep in touch. You know, I think I had given him a card way back when, but he gives him another card just in case. Right. Like he's been, you know, through some shit. And he's.
Yeah. He looks at the card and he says, I got the original. And he kind of goes into his glove compartment and pulls it down and shows you that he has it in his glove compartment. Still.
All right. Good man. It was nice to see you, Randy.
Good to see you too. And make sure you remember, anytime you need a little break from the outside world, come visit us at Imperial.
All right. Sounds good. And he closes the door and then, like, you know, two taps on the roof. And,
nice. Yep. Yep. And he pulls
heads up into the office.
All right. Yeah. There's, nothing. Not, luckily, it feels like every time you go into the office now, something bad happens. it's uneventful. Yeah, you come to the office and you see that.
Janice,
thank you. Wow, Janice is just kind of working away.
Yeah, so he walks in. It's probably later in the day, so like maybe would grab some coffee if there's like a I think there's a diner near the office or like a bagel shop or something like that. So maybe had Randy stop real quick and. You know, you bought him a cup of coffee and, you know, go, well, there's coffee in the office. And she probably already had lunch. I get scratch all that. Edit all this out. He doesn't do any of that. So he goes in. He says, hey, Janice, how you doing? What's going on? What's popping here today? Anything?
Bigger question is, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in.
So even bigger question is, like, are you okay to work?
I mean, according to the doctors, probably not, but, somebody's got to push a pencil around.
And she kind of taps, she's like working on some paperwork. She's just kind of tapping on the desk and she's like, not some of this pencil pushing wouldn't also be getting into harm's way, would it?
Well, let's hope not. And he's just kind of like, eh.
And she like. You can tell she's serious and kind of angry at you for like coming in, but she also gets kind of a wry smile on her face. And she says, you know, I only have one boss, you know, so if something happens to you, then I'm out of a job.
Hey, this could be all yours. You don't know.
Like I'd want it. And she giggles a little bit.
He laughs.
And she kind of like realizes she sees you wince after you because you get like do a like a nice hearty laugh, but you kind of like wince and she's just kind of like rolls her eyes a little bit like, oh, boy, you know, like kind of thing. And she's like, yeah, things have been pretty slow today. No messages.
No, I guess that's good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it'll give you some time to trying to think of the right words that she would say. Do some mental inventory.
Yeah, there's a lot of heavy lifting that has to happen there. I might need to wait on that. I don't know if the old wing can take it.
And she giggles at you or whatever. She says, maybe we take it easy today. How about that?
That sounds like a plan.
And she says, just working on crossing some T's and dotting some I's. So if you need anything, just let me know.
Okay, great. I'll be in my office.
Sounds good.
And he, you know, pours himself a cup of coffee, hangs his hat up, and, you know, heads into the office, but doesn't, like, closes the door, but doesn't, like, close the door all the way. So it's, like, you know, a quarter open. And I think he just, you know, sits down, takes a deep breath, you know, lights a smoke, you know, kind of, like, has his hands on the desk and just kind of, like, looks around the office, you know, shuffles some of the papers on the desk, you know, picks up a couple of things. Tries to go through some stuff, right? Like, there's always something to do. You know, like, she files the list of, like, just shit on his desk that he's got to, you know, okay, she's got to file this one. Like, this is done. Okay, I got to write out the check for this thing and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think he just, like, I think he's trying to come up with a plan, right? So, like, he's sitting there and he's thinking and he's smoking and he's drinking and... Like, I think the thought process is, okay, well, I got to get back out there. Maybe I'll go tonight and I'll take a peek in the window and see if I see him in there, or, you know, just to get a look, you know, at the apartment, you know, if a light's even on, you know, does it look like somebody's here or not? You know, like, just a general, like, I'm going to tell the Lucas Goons, oh, he's at this address, and they go in and shoot the place up, and it's just, like, some random dude. It's just, you know what I mean? yeah, and no, I didn't want to do it during the day.
Yeah.
So I think the plan is to do that tonight. It was kind of killing time, but also sort of working, right? Like, going through some stuff. He wouldn't involve Brian in that. I don't know who DeLuca's number two would be at this point, right? Because both of those guys are dead.
Yep.
Costa's gone, and the guy under Costa, he's gone too.
Yep.
You know what? I think he calls Antoine's.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Yeah.
He gets up and he pushes the door closed. You know, like, just very subtly, just kind of, like, click. And then goes back and, you know, fucking picks up the phone.
Yeah. So you dial Antoine's and you hear a very gruff voice say, Antoine's.
Yes. I'd like to talk to Mr. DeLuca, please.
Who, may I ask, would be inquiring?
Yeah. This is George Armstrong.
1 second. And you hear, like, you just hear, like, a, hear it. What's that?
I say thank you. He's already put the phone down. Yeah,
exactly. He takes his meaty paw and, like, puts the receiver, like, hard down on the table or whatever. And, you know, you hear plates clinking and glasses clinking and the sound of people washing dishes. You hear order on number 10. All right, 10. You know, that kind of thing. Like, awesome bustle of business. And, then you hear a click, and then you hear a voice that says, Mr. Armstrong. Wait, hold on. I forgot he has a lower voice this time. oh, yeah, Mr. Armstrong. I hope you have some news for me.
I've got a lead I'm going to check out tonight. I just wanted to make sure I'd keep you in the loop.
Okay. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, so I'm gonna run out tonight. I'm going to run that down and see what I could see about that. I'd rather get some eyes on it before confirming anything for you.
And he like, you hear some silence for a little bit, and you say, was this really warranting a call? You're not really giving me any information I work with.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I'm working, because, you know, I'm working now. So I ran down a few things. It seems that Mr. Blanker's been working at that paper for a little while. I kind of thought that maybe he might have been, like, you know, undercover FBI guy, maybe, but that doesn't seem likely at this point. And he's got no address on file anywhere, but I was able to ferret out some information that I want to check out before, you know, before anything happens.
I understand. Well, when you get that information, make sure that I'm the first one to know.
Of course.
Anything else I can do for you, Mr. Armstrong?
You know, I didn't get the chance to ask. You caught me a little flat-footed yesterday, but Is there anything else I should know about this Paul Blanker fella? I mean, obviously he's dangerous and, you know, there's a guy that doesn't want to be found.
Hold, please.
Yeah, sure.
Gosh dang notes. Because I called him a certain name for DeLuca. The guy that was working for DeLuca had a name. What was that? Oops.
It's
like Grimes. I can't remember. It's something Grimes. I remember that.
Oh, that's on the other page of notes.
Oh, never mind. Here we go. The only thing that I know is I think this Paul Blanca goes by the name of Ronald Garber. He was one of my associates. Now, again, that's probably not his real name. He's probably got another name. Maybe even the ones he uses as his real name is probably a pseudonym for something else. But what I can tell you from Mr. Garber is that he stood about 5'10", 5'11", pretty wiry of a guy. He had some, you know, slick back greasy hair that was brown, green eyes, like piercing green eyes. You know, one of those kind of eyes that like tell a story, you know, sometimes not good. And it was slippery.
Did he ever give anything away in conversation? Any details about himself, family, places he's been, anything like that?
Unfortunately, he was one of those guys that kept a lot of stuff to the vest. He was just one of those guys that, you know, he always told stories, but you could tell they were bullshit. You know, he was always talking about this lady that he was sleeping with, this guy that he ended up doing in, that kind of thing. It was all, I don't know, it was all a little too graphic for me. You know, I'm one of those guys that's just kind of, things are very clean.
As they should be.
I want you to roll me a brains check, and this time I'm going to have it be a deal of 5. This is just for you remembering back. I don't know if there's a skill you can use for that.
I mean, I feel like insight's probably not. You know, if I'm not trying to read him over the phone, I don't feel like that's
appropriate.
I don't know if awareness really worked. Like, I mean, I suppose you could argue like aware, like a mind. No, I mean, it depends on how you want to manage awareness, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay, because this is going to be from the past. So it's like, were you aware of what was happening in the past? Like, I mean, you were there, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that fits, unfortunately. Okay,
that's fine. So just straight brains?
Yes, please.
Nope, I got a 4, which is going to be a miss by 1, and that means no but.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't remember, but he tells me. Actually, I don't know what the but could be because I don't know what I'm trying to... Oh, I'm trying to remember something.
Yep.
Nah, see, that seems cheap. I say, but it occurs to me later, but like if it's not imperative, like in the moment, then that's also like, oh yeah, I didn't fail the roll. Like you're just going to give it to me later. That doesn't seem to work.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, because you had that. Did you have an extra and from before?
So I used one on the cab and then I used one on the guy not taking the bribe and like ignoring the fact that I was at the place. I feel like I used them all.
Okay. All right. So the no is you don't like, you feel like you remember someone kind of fitting the description of Garber and you feel like it was around the time where you were around DeLuca, but you just don't remember what time that was.
Okay.
So at one time when if this Paul Blanker is Ronald Garber, you were in the same room with him under this other disguise.
But the player remembers now what you're talking about.
No!
I assume you mean the first time he had me come in and wanted the pictures and they were all sitting around the table.
Yep.
But George says he was the guy telling the story. How fucking long did you have this whole shit planned out? We're 4 seasons in now. God,
yes.
Damn.
I love it when something comes to fruition.
See, but I feel like that would be an and. So, but What would be the but? I want to say the but is nobody notices me tonight, but that feels more like an and than a but.
Yeah,
right? I but think a so but too. Is something good, right? Like it's no but something good.
It is, yeah. But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be greater than an and, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I feel you. A player narrates something positive. Jane is doing better.
Okay.
Right. Like she's still all jacked up, but
yeah,
like incrementally she's better.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe she's like at the hospital and she's like, you know, kind of struggling or whatever. And all of a sudden she just gets a little bit more, you know, energy, you know, something heals a little bit, you know. Maybe, who knows, maybe she thinks about you and she has a moment of clarity.
And maybe they have her sitting up in the bed, like, you know, they're able to get her to sit up,
mm-hmm,
or whatever. Maybe she's, you know, she's eating some fucking Jell-O or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. It, as mundane as it may seem, when someone is recovering, sometimes even the smallest things like that are wonderful.
Yeah. I want it to be that.
Okay, awesome. Done. Your wish is my command.
Okay. I wouldn't know that because then I don't remember the scene. Okay. He says, when I get some more actionable information, I'll make sure to let you know.
I hope it's soon. I'm sick of watching my guys get clipped, you know?
Are you still having a problem?
I haven't had one recently, but you never know.
Oh, okay. Good. And he's like, good, fuck, what? Jesus.
You welcome to the dark side.
Okay, so I gotta go. I'll let you know what's going on.
Okay, get to it. And then click.
Idiot, what are you fucking calling me for? And he just kind of like shakes his head like, why? I don't want to do this all the time. Like, just, God damn it.
You're pulled in. There's no going back.
And then he just kind of like, and then he like leans down and he opens up the drawer and he pulls out the bottle of whiskey and pours some whiskey into the rest of the coffee.
Nice. Yep. And the music kind of fades you into the background.
Yeah, JJ, one of JJ's songs comes up on the radio.
Nice.
Something smooth and, you know,
yeah,
fucking mellow.
For sure.
Podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.